Six Events, CD number 3.
Receiving by sacrifice. What must we do to receive the supernal gift of the atonement? We will discuss that question more fully in the next chapter, but at this point I would suggest that the Savior's sacrifice takes effect in our lives when we offer sacrifices to Him. What sacrifice does the Lord want from us? He told Joseph Smith, "Thou shalt offer a sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even that of a broken heart and a contrite spirit." In Old Testament times, the Lord required the sacrifice of rams and bullocks and doves, which, as the angel said to Adam, were a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, who is full of grace and truth. Now that the Savior's sacrifice has been completed, however, the Lord no longer requires the sacrifice of animals. Instead, He wants our innermost selves with nothing held back. He said in a modern revelation, "All who know their hearts are honest and are broken, and their spirits contrite, and are willing to observe their covenants by sacrifice. Yea, every sacrifice which I, the Lord, shall command, they are accepted of me." Close quote. And the Lord does ask for other kinds of sacrifice throughout our lives. We are willing to make these other sacrifices because of our overriding sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Sometimes the Lord requires sacrifice on a very physical level, praying when we're tired, fasting when we're hungry, paying tithes and offerings, and so forth. This level of sacrifice is hard for many people, and I believe that those who make such sacrifices are compensated by God with a greater knowledge of Him and of themselves. "You learn to love by loving others," one woman told me who had experienced this for herself. "When you start to love and care for Heavenly Father's sheep, and you start making that sacrifice, you realize the sacrifices that have been made for you. Then you understand the atonement. Once, after I went to serve a handicapped brother in our ward, I had to lie down for 3 hours when I got home because I was all hunched over from trying to take care of his needs. I knew that I had given in a way that the Savior would give to me. That man could not give back to me in any way. And I can never give back to the Savior what he has given me by forgiving me, by coming to the earth and going through his experience and being the role model that he was, setting the example." The uttermost farthing. Another kind of sacrifice is to seek to repair relationships that we may have damaged by our imperfect behavior. Consider the Savior's teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing." Close quote. Sometimes in our hearts we know that we have crossed the sensitive line and hurt or insulted or offended another person. We may have felt justified at the time. The person may have deserved this treatment. But from the Savior's standards, as given in the Sermon on the Mount, we learn that we are not to react to the treatment of others, but rather to act from within based upon his divine value system. We are to overcome evil with good instead of paying it off. Therefore, when we hurt other people, we should go to them and acknowledge it and seek their forgiveness. This, in my opinion, is paying the uttermost farthing, if it comes out of our heart and is not merely used as a manipulative technique. I found the efficacy of this principle in my own labor with people who were low in desire and irresponsible in performance. I remember one person who was neither completely rebellious nor very enthusiastic. He would just barely go along. I had him labeled thus in my mind, and for a number of months, every time I saw his face and name on organizational charts, I would think of him in this way. In the periodic reviews, even though on the surface I would appear interested, under it all I had him labeled and categorized in my mind. Eventually I reached the point where I knew I had to take some initiative myself and do something else that might help him get on fire. He began to open up, saying something like, "Dr. Covey, I know you have a lot of good ideas and advice for me, But could you kind of listen to what I feel like, what my problems are, and help me from there? I did what I could at the time, but my inability to remove myself from the label I had about him was so set that I needed more time to prepare myself. In the intervening time, I looked introspectively at myself and became aware of how I had labeled him and how this label had tended to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. People tend to become like we treat them, or like we believe them to be, or we may simply interpret the data of our experiences with them in a way that proves our label. I decided I need to pay the uttermost farthing, to use the Savior's expression. I went to this young man, opened up what I believed had happened, and how I had played my role in contributing to this situation, and I sought his forgiveness. He broke down and acknowledged his role in things also. He too paid the uttermost farthing in a sense. Our relationship began on a new basis at step one, but for the first time it was thoroughly honest. Both of us began to build with each other, and he would use me from time to time as a sounding board to thrash out a lot of his feelings, both negative and positive. Gradually, to use the scriptural expression, he came to himself and began to build internal controls. Then he performed magnificently in achieving the results that came with his position, and he became supremely happy in his work.